The Structure of the Elite. Isn't it ironic that although the entire humanity shares common biology, and the end will be the same for everyone, there is such a division in society? Abundant literature attempts to explain the reasons for this division, but no literature can abolish the absolute facts that a woman has given the beginning of life to every one of us, that everyone needs air, water, and food in order to live. Yet there has always been the elite and the commoners. Only the variants of this division differ. The above-mentioned division, quote, the Great Reset, unquote, finally considered by the elite as the ultimate, the final victory of the elite over the commoners, the anonymous insignificance. In modern history, it was the thinkers elevated by the elite that have pondered social divisions and their variants. There were the divisions in class warfare of proletariat against bourgeoisie, a constant battle between political right and political left, which is a usual topic of discussion, whereby the working class was referred to as the revolutionary force leading to progress, nowadays replaced by the minorities, thought of as the modern form of the revolutionary force. There was an understanding that society consists of haves and have-nots, of poor, lower and upper middle class, and the class of the rich. However, these kinds of divisions are things of the past. Nowadays, all these divisions have become obsolete. With what the elite now considers its final victory of the ultimate slavery, quote, the Great Reset, unquote, the social division obtains its final form, in which all that was political left and political right, middle class, even wealthy, poor, and desolate, all this is lumped together into one mush, into one homogeneous multitude, deliberately made to be of low intelligence on the one hand. On the other hand, a disappearingly small number of rulers constituting the world elite, the non-anonymous significance, came to the fore, completely detached from the groups formerly known to form the political milieu, but having enormous power over all these traditional political competitors never seen in history. At the top of the world elite are the monarchs, now in their new global role, never before so powerful and united in their goals. The monarchs have allowed the financial elite of the world to aid them when it comes to the everyday practical things. Financial elite only cares about profit and little else. The real crème de la crème of the elite, the United Monarchies, however, in addition to finances and profit, care about the new overall ideological state of the world. Even before acquiring such new global power, it was still true that if British monarchy didn't care about such a seeming trifle, the ideology, it would never have survived for over 9 centuries. It goes without saying as a detail that, conversely, ensuring a proper, quote-unquote, ideological state of the world, preventing the disbanding of the monarchy, would also express itself in material prosperity of the monarchs and their families in the monarchies. However, that material prosperity comes only as a result of establishing and maintaining, quote-unquote, proper ideologies, fully servicing the eternal reign of the monarchs, clearly detached by special birthright laws from the commoners. One important aspect of that ideological state is to make the anonymous, the insignificants, believe what they're told. This mental discipline imposed on everyone insignificant, is the pivotal tool of elites' governance. Therefore, if one feels that one should resist, as one should, elite suppression, the main thing is to question every idea which the elite advances, even if the idea presented appears to be for the insignificant's benefit. But especially ideas which one establishes are not right, when propaganda blasts them from the loudspeakers of its private global mainstream media. How that, quote, proper ideology of enslavement improved almost to perfection nowadays for elite's own good, works, and what the methods of instilling it are, is discussed in the earlier book of this author entitled, quote, No Great Reset, unquote. The role of the aforementioned elite is especially pronounced when changes are to take place in the upper echelons of human cognition, the fundamental science. One may attempt anything in order to be heard when one has discovered an absolutely stunning, unequivocal flaw in the fundamentals of physics, the correcting of which is of immediate urgency and of greater significance even than discoveries such as heliocentrism, because that discovery is more basic than heliocentrism in view of its underlying everything else. Indeed, discoveries in question, namely the discovery made that time runs at the same rate in every coordinate system, and that space can only be Euclidean, has no match in its fundamentality. However, no one will hear such a discoverer, not explicitly appointed by the elite. Perplexing to any rational mind is the fact that the taxpayers will gladly suffer, allowing their hard-earned dollar to be squandered in a pit of absurdity, deceitfully labeled science, but will never rise up against this highway robbery and injustice, which is more than only intellectual dimensions. Unless those taxpayers are instigated to rise up by being paid by these exact same suppressors, the anonymous insignificants are fully able to see the problem, but instead of recognizing that problem and as a result rising to freedom, for achieving which they have all the tools and ammunition, they will keep behaving like insignificants, although thinking of themselves as exalted and decisive factors without which no decision can pass. Some even think of themselves as the sovereign. As a matter of fact, this has always been the case throughout history. We would have never heard of Galileo had he not been friends with the powerful of the day, such as Pope Urban VIII. We would have not heard of Josiah Willard Gibbs had James Clerk Maxwell not noticed and promoted him from his position of power as president of the Royal Society. A telling example of what happens when a true discoverer is neglected by the elite is Yves Coudet, who has even published his stunning experimental findings in the most influential archival scientific journals, which would suppose immediate prominence and change of ways in physics. Yet his seminal work, clearly experimentally demonstrating the classical character of quantum mechanics, is noticed, if at all, as only some illustrative curiosity, which physics may equally as well live without. The actual experimental demonstration that physics must change is deformed and diminished by the propaganda into a negligible but mildly amusing oddity. Amidst all this intellectual marasmus, steps must be undertaken for change. The change in fundamental physics in the first place, followed by a change in every other aspect of life, disallowing corruption and lies. This is crying out as loud as the tooting horns of Jericho. However, that can only happen by the involvement of strong political will through a change in the United States brought about by the U.S. Congress. This would be a very small change at that, as a beginning, consisting of the inclusion in the legislation of only one sentence, explicitly stated in previous books of this author. A sentence which will take care of billions of dollars misspent on bad science, as the first step. However, the hurdles, although concealed, which the inclusion of that one sentence encounters, are enormous. The only way for those hurdles to be overcome is through imparting enormous sums of money into, quote, professionals who, quote, know how these things work, unquote, when it comes to convincing the U.S. Congress to introduce changes in its legislation. Not to mention that it is questionable whether even such money would help bring about change, given that all political regimes in the 20th century, both totalitarian and self-described non-totalitarian, as well as all the regimes in the 21st century, have issued categorical bans on criticizing the absurdities of physics, let alone rejecting them. One can hardly believe that such a ban could exist amidst the frenzied propaganda about the fake, quote, freedom of speech, unquote. Once again, any change in physics may come about only through strong political will, which will disallow society paying for absurdities presented as science. Such political will is lacking at present, and that is fully understandable because all the political forces are toys in the hands of the elite and are only conduits to its will, which finds it advantageous to that elite to portray absurdities as the expression of high science. It's really disheartening to realize, however, that institutions which symbolize the country are in fact nothing other than a cover-up for corruption. This is a consequence of the fact that these institutions are run by puppets of the elite. The congresspersons and senators sit in their offices for no other reason than to be anglers, waiting for their prey, which will be supplied by the representatives of the legalized corruption, the K Street lobbyists. It may appear that their stay in these offices is for something else, more connected with what these politicians have been announcing during their campaign drives. But the real purpose for their stay in their offices is to wait for the perks they would receive from the wealthy parties interested in changing legislation for their benefit by being able to afford paying the K Street lobbying firms heftily for their knowledge and connections, knowing how to oil the political machine to have it pass the desired bill. These K Street lobbyists know how, in exchange for passing the bill, to make the respective representatives and senators' wives become members of the upper crust of corporations, their children be accepted in prestigious schools and universities, and the respective members of the U.S. Congress be guests on an exotic island for a conference devoted to discussing the bill. No direct transfer of money is involved, as a rule, in order to avoid calling it corruption. Everything appears plausible and legal. K Street knows how to do that, and it is well paid for these kinds of services. Or here is another example. The people were made to think that our troops are in Afghanistan to protect democracy and the national interest. Billions of taxpayer dollars were spent for that. However, when everything crumbled and the Taliban just freely walked into Kabul without a fight by anyone opposing them. It became clear that all the seemingness of an Afghan army, which the USA paid billions of dollars for building, is in fact an empty structure, a void, just a paravan of egregious grift and corruption. So you mean to tell me that in this poisonous atmosphere, with the corrupt politicians and the global media not being the best friends of truth, but in service of their private owners, who are the very ones who install the corrupt politicians, we should listen to anything about COVID-19? Never. The most a prudent person would listen to is news where the misleading media cannot escape and is forced to tell the truth. News about the death of a monarch or another state dignitary, death which the world media cannot hide or misrepresent. This is the only liberating news, or rather lack of such news, that there could possibly be when it comes to COVID-19.